Yes. Well, it's great to be here this afternoon. Thank you for coming. And I gave some thought earlier in the day to what these four presentations had in common. It occurred to me that really the term collaboration is exactly perhaps the most common element in the four of them. Every one of these ventures is a collaborative effort between multiple players. In the case of the Chicago Collaborative, it's so collaborative we put that in our name. And the I'm sorry. Oh, yes, sorry. My presentation. Did anyone want to see the presentation? Okay. Right, and I have a problem with this presentation. Just tell you off the bat, my normal practice is to prepare presentations and deliver them about 18 seconds before I'm actually going to speak. This one I did about a week ago, and now I've got to remember what it was about. the Chicago Collaborative takes its name from the two terms. It's called Chicago because the first meeting was in Chicago. Our subsequent meetings have been in a variety of locations, but Chicago is where we started. And the collaborative simply comes from the avowed intent of the operation of the organization, which is to foster collaboration between, in this case, primarily librarians and publishers, but also other interested parties as well. Librarians and publishers are different. To some extent, and that's always intrigued me. I'm currently a publisher working for a library association. I report to a librarian, and I talk to librarians all the time, but before I came to my current position, I had been in book publishing for 25 years. So it's been a learning experience for me and perhaps for them. And one of the things that is the case of with librarians is that it is, unlike publishing, at least in the U.S., it's a credentialed profession. There's an actual degree that goes with it and a professional training program, and it's graduate level. They may have faculty status, but they have some interesting assignments or some key functions which are not so dissimilar from what publishers do when you stop to think about it. They select and acquire materials. They disseminate those materials to an audience that the publishers are publishing for. In the case of academic publishers, they promote and they preserve those materials. They are a fairly numerous body, there are, I think, considerable differences in the way that academic libraries work in the U.S. and the U.K., or at least a goodly number of them. But just in terms of raw numbers, these are just some basics. We've got about, in the U.S., we have a lot of academic libraries, about 3,800 or so, approximately 30,000 academic librarians. Library staffs total about 90,000, and that is larger than in the U.K., as one would expect. thing about publishers in comparison with librarians, one of the things about publishers is that the numbers are harder to come by, and so I haven't thrown as many in. But there are differences in the career tracks. Publishing was famously described in 1977 by the Education Committee report of the Association of American Publishers as an accidental profession. Turns out it's not the only profession that's accidental, but it's an occupation into which many people come by accident. I myself would be a classic example. I was going to be a political scientist, and I got fairly far along that road and asked myself one morning, did I really want to finish the degree? I had some doubts about it, and I got into publishing by calling an employment agency in the Chicago Loop who told me that many employers would not be interested in me because I had all of these graduate education and training, and I would probably be difficult to work with. And I would probably want more money. He said, but publishers would talk to you. Got a job working for Houghton Mifflin, and here I am. So people get into publishing in various ways, and we know that publishing is a fairly complicated, diverse endeavor, and where you've got both commercial and nonprofit publishers. ALPS, of course, I think is well known for being particularly hospitable to the nonprofits. You get journal publishing and book publishing. They operate in quite a different way, as we know. And the field is, and different types of publishers work differently in different subject areas. And STM is often seen as a sort of semi-separate part of publishing. But look at the key roles. They actually resemble librarianship to some extent: selection, production, dissemination. And we have a field which, however, does not have necessarily have really great statistics. It's very difficult to decide how large publishing is as a field. I was talking with another conference attendee this morning about that. It's always been something that's been a little difficult to nail down. You get different numbers from different people. But in essence, we know that there's a lot of organizations that publish for the academic sector that may or may not be full-time publishers. Many of them are not-for-profit associations and organizations, and that's one reason why I think it's a very difficult field to sort of measure. But I think we're all familiar with the fact that there are a lot of journals and a lot of journal articles and a lot of books, and that these are collectively the effort of the scholarly publishing community, and that these are in turn, by and large, the materials that academic librarians are going to be working with and that are going to be produced by and distributed to and used by the faculty and the students who the academic librarians serve. Which takes us to the point of commonality between the two fields, and it has often seemed to me that there's very great shared interest between academic librarians and publishers. We work with the same people to a large extent. Our authors and reviewers are the same faculty that the librarians work with. We have a common customer base, if you will, and we have very common values, and I'm often struck by that because I find that sometimes when talking to librarians, they don't really realize that the publishers actually are interested in some of the same things and share some of the same values that they do. And here is this is the Monty Python summarized Proust version of scholarly communication, which means I should read it very quickly and conclude with a rude joke, but I will just go through it very quickly. This is all stuff that I think we're familiar with, but I'd like to point out that whereas the history of the early journal publishing goes back to 17th century, we don't really see the emergence of the modern academic library, the library that we know of today and might think of as a traditional library, until really the late 19th century. The dates that I put in here are all dates that are important at one time or another, but there's about 441 years here between Gutenberg and the World Wide Web. During that time, print was the dominant model for the most part. But things have changed to some extent over a considerable period of time. I arbitrarily broke the history down into these eras. Really, to me, the modern scholarly communication system really began to emerge in the late 19th century. And 1945 to 1970, the post-World War II period, to about 1970, is the period that I sort of just missed. I have a lot of friends in publishing that were always telling me it was too bad I missed that. those were the years when the more you published, the better you did. And library budgets were going up, and it seemed like there was almost an insatiable demand for the material, that increased volume of material that kept being published. Since that time, we've seen emerging crises and increasing tensions. And in the meantime, we've now been addressing in recent years, coping with really major technological changes that, coupled with economic environment, economic context, have made for a different era than the great prosperity of 1945 to 1970. I think all of us are familiar with what has happened in recent years with the emergence of electronic publishing and its advantages and its challenges. And we have probably all seen some of the consequences of those. I say, when speaking about bad statistics, it's very clear. This number, 50 million journal articles, I got out of a recent piece in Learned Publishing. But based on Lee's data and Microsoft, The 50 million is clearly not right. This was a very fascinating article, which appeared in 2005-2006, and I, at the time, thought that it was a very neat estimate. The one thing that I think probably is accurate here is the general shape of the curve, where we're dealing with an increasing volume of materials. However, even as the publication volume goes up and the research continues, we find over on the library side, and here is really one of the sources ultimately of some of the issues between librarians and publishers, the library budgets have not kept pace, and that's true, really in both the US and the UK. And the economic context, I think, in my own sense, has really been the source of the of some of the controversies we've seen, particularly in the U.S., and the disagreements between librarians and publishers. It's money, as much as anything, is at the bottom of some of the issues. The death of the scholarly monograph has been being proclaimed since at least 1970, leading one commentator to add that at this point it seemed no longer we were talking about the death but merely the chronic illness of the scholarly monograph, since it's still here 50 years later. Nonetheless, there are real issues, and anyone who publishes scholarly books is well aware of those issues, and as a review vehicle, we're acutely aware of those issues because we're talking to the publishers all the time. The serials crisis, which has received an enormous amount of press, and which is one that academic libraries in the U.S. are acutely aware of, has helped foster and lead to the open access movement, which in turn was a source of great concern to scholarly publishers and continues to be in some areas, and in other areas it's something that people are adapting to. But it has also been bolstered by and associated with, in some cases, by those people who like to argue that information wants to be free, and we've all heard those arguments and those discussions, and we have responded to them in a variety of ways, but in the end it often is not a resolvable dispute. So, the Chicago Collaborative consists of a group of people who ask themselves what might be done about the state of the dialogue at the time. And what were the options? And one was sort of to continue doing what we were doing at the time. The phrase bowling alone comes from a title of a well-known academic monograph by Robert Putnam, which talked about the increasing isolation of Americans in modern society. And that was one option, just keep going along as we were and not talk to one another. Another one was to really get excited about it and have a big fight and a big debate. And another option was to try to look for a better way. The Chicago Collaborative is about looking for a better way. And we're trying to build on a variety of things. And one is the obvious shared interests and values between librarians and publishers. We find as we talk to one another that we really do share common concerns. We do care about scientific integrity and ethics. We care about getting the information out, about disseminating it, about making it accessible. We care about the sustainability of the scholarly communication enterprise. And we are looking at the possibilities in the future, ways that collaboration could benefit us all. And some of those ways are just spelled out here in very general terms: better and more informed working relationships, which can be a way of preventing on occasion controversy, or at the very least allowing us to discuss it in a more informed way. From a publisher perspective, knowing more about libraries and how libraries work and making that a conscious endeavor and part of your sort of working gestalt is a way to improve your own understanding of how your materials are actually used. It would allow us to develop perhaps some new ideas for features and functionality that might not come to us on our own, and it might allow for targeted innovation, because we work in a world, publish in a world where increasingly our audience is very diverse and often very segmented. So what is the Chicago Collaborative actually doing? Aside, we're meeting a couple times a year. We work on a variety of projects, but our basic strategy is laid out here. The idea was, number one, to open a dialogue, and I think we have been able to do that. The other was to include all the players, and when I say all the players, while we focus on the librarian-publisher relationship, we've been bringing in other groups as well. Journal editors and the academic journal editors, we've been bringing in vendors like Portico, for example, to talk about archiving. And we have endeavored to open up the dialogue in those areas that seemed to be areas that we that needed attention, where we thought collaboration would be useful. We are not at this time doing some of the very hands-on, very specific, and very much needed endeavors like Project Transfer, but are more at this time focusing on what we call the 30,000 foot level, kind of high-level kind of high-level discussions. But we're trying to be systematic, to take things one at a time, to identify some approaches and tactics, and then to do what we can to encourage other parties to take those ideas and run with them and turn them into practical outcomes. And we're doing it now, because it seems like this is the time actually to do it. What are we trying to avoid? Well, we're trying to avoid that. Seems like a good thing to avoid. Trying to avoid that. And we're hoping for something nicer. I just conclude by mentioning that librarians, like publishers, are organized, and librarians are actually a little more organized than publishers, I would have to say. I've listed here a small set of U.S. library associations. I mentioned the Association of Academic Health Sciences Libraries because they're actually the library association with which the Chicago Collaborative is currently associated. It's really their initiative and outreach to publishers that really got the Chicago Collaborative started. The American Library Association and the Association of College and Research Libraries are actually very closely connected. The Association of College and Research Libraries, for whom I actually work as a publisher, is actually a division of the American Library Association. And then the Association of Research Libraries is in the U.S. that is a group of the top 115 or so academic libraries with very large budgets and who are responsible for acquiring a large proportion of academic materials. Here in the U.K., you have SILIP, which would be sort of analogous to the American Library Association. You have SCONL, which is somewhat like the Association of Research Libraries. I'm sure there are other library associations in globally, but the point simply is that there are places to go if you want to work and set up a working relationship. And that, in essence, is what the Chicago Collaborative is about. We are about collaboration. We got started in Chicago. We have been working and focusing on, up to this point, on education. We have prepared now a course for librarians about publishing, and we have presented that a number of times. We'll be presenting it again at the Medical Library Association meeting this coming May. We've been invited to do that. I'll be going next week to the Mid-Continental chapter of the meeting of the Medical Library Association to have a little dialogue panel with library groups. And we are also working conversely on another course because we think it would be very useful for publishers to have a course about librarians, and which we would think might be useful to present on occasion at conferences and events like this one. So we're working on education. We are talking about specific problems like archiving and asking ourselves how collaboration might play into strengthening that effort and that initiative, looking at other areas where we think there are possibilities. And we basically are, what we are wedded to, I think, is the idea that things work better if you do work collaboratively.